little pieces they had in the
print. Okay, morning. Today's daf is daf chaf in Zvachim. We start today in Yud Tesamun Beis on 19b, and we are about five lines from the top of the Amud, and we start a new topic today. We've been spending a couple days talking about Mechusa Begadim, Kohen who is not wearing the clothing, either not enough or too much or not tailored correctly. And as the Mishnah told us in the beginning of the second paragraph, that's a psul, that's a disqualification. Right? The Mishnah told us back on Tezvav Amud Beis that any zevach, any karban, where the Kohen does the avoda while in a state of mechusa begadim, is subject to a disqualification. The next thing mentioned in the Mishnah, shlo rachatz yadayim v'raglayim, a Kohen did not wash his hands and his feet. Okay, and we have a We have some time. We're still in Bereishis, but coming up in Parshas Kisisa, the Gemara, the Torah over there mentions the following. And in Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, "V'asisa kior nechoshes v'chano nechoshes l'rach psa." So you're going to make a copper basin and a stand. You place it between the old moed and you place it in between the mizbech. And you put water in there. And the Torah couldn't be any clearer. Aaron and his sons need to wash their hands and their feet. When they enter into Ohel Moed, so they wash and they will not die. Or if they're going into the Mizbeach to do any type of service, la'aktiri shel Hashem, to offer some sort of smoke offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'rachasu yadehem v'raglehem v'lo yamusu. And again, they're going to wash their hands and feet so they won't die. V'haisa lahem chak olam lazaro, lo ulazaro l'dorosam. And that's it. That's the rule from this point forward. From this little parsha over here, that's the entire parsha. From this little parsha over here, Parsha's Kisisa, we get the mitzvah of a Kohen needing a requirement to wash his hands and to wash his feet. Okay? And from the Pesukim, it's very clear. It's abundantly clear from the Pesukim that a failure to do so is Misa Bidei Shemaim. You get the death penalty. Not corporal punishment, not Sanhedrin death penalty, but Misa Bidei Shemaim, death by the hands of heaven. That's clear. What we're learning today and for the next couple of days is that failure to do so, if you don't wash your hands and feet, also, it's going to passel the avoda, will disqualify the avoda, and that's what we will be discussing over the course of today. Just in general, you should know, the Rashba writes, Rashba, one of the foremost Rishonim of Spain, so he writes that, you know, we have the mitzvah of washing hands every morning, every one of us, right? Negelwasser, as my mother would say. That mitzvah that we have of washing hands every morning is because of Kohanim. Every day the Kohanim, when they do the temple service, they have a requirement to wash their hands. So the Rashba says, similarly, we also have a requirement to wash our hands every morning. Every morning we're also going to do service. Granted, not temple service, but still, we do our own form of avoda. It's called davening. It's called tefillah. And so therefore the Rashba says that we have a requirement to wash our hands, much like the Kohanim did in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, just in general, you should know that. I guess it's kind of funny that we should also be washing our feet every morning as well. Because the Kohanim did that as well. Ashkenazim do not.
Because
tefillah, you need to prepare. You need a hachana. You need a certain amount of preparation for tefillah. But this idea of washing your hands in the morning, however, so as we're going to learn over the course of today, if you don't have esach hadas, if you don't have an interruption, so the one washing that you did in the morning can really carry you over for the remainder of the day. But the Rambam feels that washing is an act of hachana. It's an act of preparation for davening. So therefore, it requires a new act of hachana every time. Nope, nothing to do with that. That's an auxiliary reason as to why we wash our hands in the morning, right? The Shulchan Aruch says there's this idea of Ruach Ra, but that's an auxiliary reason. The main reason why we do so, according to the Rashba, is because we model ourselves after the Kohanim. Kohanim washed in the morning, we therefore wash in the morning as well. The Rashba has a different reason, it's because our hands are dirty, but just, you know, in the course of today's daf, however, the Rashba is much more appropriate, much more apropos. We turn to Rabbanu. We start now this morning with a brisa. We're 5 lines from the top of the Amud. Kohen gadol shelo tava v'shelo kidesh bein beged lebeged bein avod leavod va'avod avod asok sheira. So the Brisa already takes us into a world of Yom Kippur. Okay, we know that when it comes to Yom Kippur, they did the Mishnayos in Yuma, you read about the Avoda on Yom Kippur itself, right, during Musaf. So you know that the Kohen goes through washing of his hands and his feet multiple times. To be specific, he washes his hands 10 times. And he tovels in the mikvah 5 times over the course of the day of Yom Kippur. It has to do, it's correlated with the number of times that he changes his clothing from the big day Zahav to the big day Lavan, back to the Zahav, back to the Lavan, back to the Zahav. 5 changes. 5 changes requires 5 tefillas and 10 kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, 10 times that he washes his hands and his feet. So the Braisa here tells us that as far as the, after the first time, it's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev. In other words, if the Kohen doesn't do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so he missed a mitzvah, but it's eino ma'akev. It doesn't, the avoda is still an avoda. It still works. Everything was effective. But if you miss that first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the morning, that's a deal breaker. That's no good, says the Braisa. So the Braisa says the avoda, the ensuing avoda that occurs after that point in time, is psula, is disqualified. And the Braisa says the same thing is true for a regular Kohen. Regular Kohen who misses his morning washing of his hand and his feet, and he does the avoda is psula. Amalei Rav Asi le Rav Yochanan Michti Chamish Shvilas Rasar Kedushin Daraisa V'chukuk Sibahu Li'ikuva. So the Gemara says, I'm not following. You're telling me that the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur is failure to wash after the first time, it's okay. It's not a, you know, not the end of the world. The avoda is still okay. Gemara says that's not true. The Torah mentions 5 tefillos, and there are asara kiddushin, and there are 10 times that he washes his hands, and that's daraisa. And the Torah emphasizes, punctuates it with the word chukah, and it's le'ikuva. Anytime we have the word le'chukah, the Torah is telling us that it has to be done this way, and failure to do so results in a disqualification. So how can you tell me then, or not you, but how can the Braisa then tell me that the subsequent washing of his hands is not the end of the world? So Amalei Amakro Ulevei Sham Levisha Ma'akev Esvein Davar Achim Ma'akev. So he gives an answer. And he says, well, the Torah says, this is by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Ulevei Sham, he wears it. Meaning he wears his clothing. Meaning the Torah puts its emphasis on the wearing of the clothing. The wearing of the clothing is the most important aspect of his day. So the Levei Sham, Levisha is Ma'akev, but nothing else is Ma'akev. Savu Panav. So when he got an answer like that, Rav Asi heard this answer from Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi, his face started glowing. He's like, wow, that's a great answer. Amarle, Rav Yochanan says, that's not a great answer. I know I gave you the answer, right? But it's not such a great answer. Amarle, Vav A'ufta Kasve Lach. The way Rashi explains this expression, Rashi says, you know what I just did? I like wrote the letter Vav on the side of a log. Meaning, take a look. Can you find the Vav that I wrote on the side of a log? And you know, you look at a log and it's etched with bark and it's, you're not going to be able to find it. And that's basically what I did for you. Meaning, it's not a real answer. I didn't give you a real answer. Okay, it's fair to ask me, if Rav Yochanan is asked the question, why would he give a fake answer? Why wouldn't he give a real answer?
That's a really good answer.
Okay, so Ihachi did Safranami. So the Gemara says, fine. So because, and he explains to you, look, I know it's not a real answer. I know it's a fake answer. Because if really Levei Sham is the only thing that's Ma'akev, so then if the Kohen misses his first washing in the morning, it should be okay. But we know it's not. We know it's not okay. So Amar Chizki, Amar Kravahis, Allahim Chak Olam, Lo Ulezaro Ledorosam. Davar Ha'Ma'akev Bezaro Ma'akev Bo, Davar Sheina Ma'akev Bezaro, Ein Ma'akev Bo. Because it says, because again, we keep going back to this Parsha and Kisi, so we have to, because this is really the source of the mitzvah of washing your hands. The Kohen has to wash his hands. And the psukim are very clear. This is a statute, this is a law for him and his sons, meaning Aaron and his sons. Anything which is a makif for his sons is going to be a makif for Aaron. So on Yom Kippur, so you have to look at that first washing, you have to treat it independent. Because that's a washing that's true for all Kohanim. And it's ma'akev for all Kohanim, therefore it's going to be ma'akev for him, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur. Rav Yonasan Amar,
how did Ulevei Sham teach you that? If the Pasuk says that you have to wash your hands and your feet, So how?
Ulevesham. And why?
Who says the second word in
right. I'm with you. I mean, look, he had. Okay, Rashi says Shina Hakasa Belavisha, meaning it's the second time that the Levisha is being mentioned.
You mentioned twice, and what had only mentioned once. You wash in the beginning and you wash at the end.
Right. Rashi says it's the repetition. Okay. Anyway, it's not the real answer, right? It's not the real answer. The real answer is based on the fact that the pasuk says Lo v'zara. Rabbi Yonasan Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yonasan says, "Let's go here." Berachsumi Menu Moshe VeAaron Uvanav. Davar Makiv Bevanav Makiv Bo. Davar Shena Makiv Bevanav In Makiv Bo. Okay, it's similar. By the way, it's the pasuk that's quoted by Rabbi Yonasan is nearly identical to the pasuk quoted by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yonasan, I'm sorry, by Chizkia. So Rabbi Yonasan, my time alamar mid Chizkia. Now the Gemara says, look, what are you talking about? We're not learning a special halacha over here, something that applies to the sons that's going to apply to the father. That's not what we're learning. What we're learning over here is the basic requirement that you need to wash your hands. And not only you, Aaron, need to wash your hands, but this is true for all future generations as well. Kohanim need to wash their hands before they do the avodah, period. And we're not learning out a special halacha that the first washing in Yom Kippur, that's a special washing. No, it's not. That's not what the Psukim and Parshas Kisisa are coming to teach us. V'idach my time lo amar mehai mi bayle lechad Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. The Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara says we learn out another halacha from later on in Parshas Vayakel, where the other Amar gets it from, not Vayakel but rather Pekudei. The Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina kol kiyor she'ein bo kedei lekadosh arba kohanim imenu ein mekachin bo. There's a minimum requirement of how big the kiyor has to be. This basin that we're going to use, this sink that's going to be used to wash your hands, so it's got to be enough to be able to wash hands and feet of four people. Aaron, I'm sorry, Moshe, Aaron, Uvanov, and his sons.
Is it in there?
It's, what's it called? It's next to them is Beach, right? Again, that picture's upside down, so that's so it's confusing. But between, you see the two circles? Yeah. Between the Mizbeach and the Ulam?
The gold one.
Right? So we're going to... It's the gold one over here.
Oh.
Okay? This is a pit. We'll talk about the pit later this morning.
That's where they throw
it. Okay? So the Gemara... Good. So the... The Gemara says that what we learn out from the pasuk of Moshe Aaron Uvanav is that it's got to hold... The basin's got to hold that minimum amount of water so it can be able to wash the hands of four. Right, I saw a discussion, right, four is a very funny number to come to. Moshe and Aaron are one and two, that's for sure, but then we talk about Aaron's son, Uvanav. So at this point in time, we're still at the building of the construction of the Mishkan. He had four sons. So, and they didn't die yet, the two didn't die yet. Right. So really, I mean, you could have counted as six and not as four. Okay, anyway, it's an issue. But
they weren't anointed,
so then don't count them at all. It's not clear why the Gemara comes to four, but the Gemara does. Ein mekachin bo shenem v'rachsum imenem Moshe v'Aaron ubanav. Fine. Tanu rabbanan. Ketzad mitzvahs kiddush. Good. So now we are going to continue in this discussion of kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Today, the whole day, we are dedicating ourselves to learning about the mitzvah of washing your hands and feet for the kohanim. So ketzad mitzvahs kiddush meiniach yado yamanis al gabei ragla yamanis v'yado hasmalis al gabei ragla hasmalis u'mikadesh. So according to the Tanakhama, what you do is you put your right hand over your right foot, your left hand over your left foot, and you let the water go over your right hand, right foot, and your left hand, your left foot. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Minich, Shtei Yadav, Zu Agav Zu, V'al Gabi Shtei Raglav, Zu Agav Zu, U'mikadesh. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you go into yoga position, where you put your one hand over the other hand, you put those two hands over your two feet, and if anyone is that flexible, good. That's how you wash your hands and feet. Amrulay.
So you're sitting?
Wait. No. You're bending over. One hand over another hand, one foot over another foot. Everything is done simultaneously. It's efficient. It's an efficient washing because you're what? Right.
Before
correct.
You put your big kahuna on?
I would keep the balance.
Right? Wait, just one second.
And the water's falling, they're not standing in anything. it's going to fall onto the floor. Right?
Correct, correct. And there were canals. There were canals running through the, running on the floor in order so that the water would basically scutter out. So Mekadosh Amru Lo, he flagta. He says, no, you got to be kidding me. That's an exaggeration. He flagta. Right? The Ramban on his parish on Chumash. You know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you look at the Ramban over there in that pasuk, the Rambam says, he fliga, the Torah is exaggerating. There's no way we're going to love somebody as much as ourselves. Right? The Ramban writes that on Chumash. And so, right, it's that terminology, he fliga, like it's an exaggeration, that's too much, it can't be. E esha lasos kain. So he can't do that. It's not possible, meaning we're not sitting right now, we're standing. And what you're doing now is right hand over left hand, both of those over, right foot, left foot, and you're doing all that while standing, it can't be. Gemara says he flakta. So shop, and that's it, and that's the end of the braisa. So shop ikamale. So the Gemara says, that's a great punctuation. Right? In other words, he made a good point, and there was no retort. How do you retort to that? So I'm Rav Yosef, a chaver misayo. So Rav Yosef says beautifully. He says, you're right, on your own you can't do that. So what you do is you say, Ben, come over here, and Aaron, come over here, and hold me up while I get into this ridiculous position where there's no way on my own I'm going to be able to stand. And I simply ask for assistance. So the Gemara says, and you know what really is that issue over here? Is that called standing? In other words, if I can't stand on my own, and I need the support of somebody else, is that called standing? Everybody agrees you need to stand. Sheirus, service in the temple, by definition means standing. As we've said over time and again, you can't sit in the Azara. Once you're in the temple courtyard, you're not allowed to sit. Only Ben David, only those of the Davidic dynasty are allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara. No one else is allowed to sit. Kohanim are not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question over here now is really a question of, is this acceptable standing?
Forgive me, that's a puzzle somewhere?
No. It's sheiros. It's based on just the simple fact that the Torah says sheiros. And sheiros by default means standing.
So somebody,
Gemara's going to say that.
Somebody.
What is the reason to do everything at once? Is that not to give preference to right or left?
I don't know. Efficiency, I would say, but that's just me guessing. I'm not sure. So the Gemara says, Amina ika meinah amalei rav sama breid rav ashila ravina v'leithav Mesa v'lekadesh. The Gemara says exactly that. And the Gemara says, so why don't you simply let them sit? And in other words, if you are interested in getting everything at once, hands and feet are together, so let them sit. So the Gemara says, I'm a kral, l'sharesh, v'sheres mu'umadu, sheres. Sheres has this understanding that when you serve, when you do any type of service, you must be in a standing position.
So it means that a czar that's shechted or something does not have to stand?
No, he also has to stand. In other words, even though you're right, even though that's not a voda, right? It's not an actual voda, but we know that you're not allowed to sit. There's a Tosis over here, just pointed out, that when you do other things that require standing, you also have to make sure that you stand on your own volition. And unsupported, meaning Tosis assumes, it's interesting, Tosis assumes, even though the Gemara has a debate as to whether or not assisted standing is considered assisted, and the Gemara certainly didn't arrive at any type of conclusion of whether it is or it isn't, Tosis assumes assisted standing is no good. You have to stand on your own. And Tosis writes over here, right? You'll hear this a lot. You'll hear a Gabbai say this every now and then. So, L'Rabban Lo Shmei Amidah Menetzah V'Nira K'Shekarm B'Torah. So when you read from the Torah, Shalom Lismoch, don't lean on the bima, writes Tosfos. Mishum de Amra be Megillah Perakakoros and Megillah Omid de Betorah by Amida. Because we know, well, we're learning this this year in the high school, we know the Mishnah Megillah tells us, beginning of the second parak, that you have to stand. You have to stand when you read the Torah. When you read the Megillah, you could stand or you could sit. But when you read the Torah, you have to stand. It's a requirement to stand. So now that there's this requirement of Amida, Satosa says it has to be unassisted. It has to be that you stand on your own without any type of support. Okay.
How come we
don't stand? We do. What do you mean? For Kriya Satorah.
When you're laning.
Right, when you're laning or you're in Aliyah. When you're listening, so, okay, my friend Rabbi Weil spoke about that when he was here for Shabbos, right, depends on how you view the listener, but, okay. Tana Rabbanan, Kiddush Yadav V'Raglav, Bayom Eim Tzarech L'Kaddish B'Laila. Okay, how long does the washing of the hands last for? Okay, so this is a big discussion, and this takes us through our next big part of Gemara for today. So, now, remember, right, one of the more basic and general rules when it comes to karbanos and zvachim is that there's not much going on at night. Nighttime there's not avoda going on at night. You're not shechting, you're not offering, you're not allowed to do it at night. Daytime is really the active time in the Beis HaMikdash. At night, there's the burning of the limbs, there's the burning of the fats, there's shmira, there's guarding. But really, the truth of the matter is that at nighttime, there's not much going on. So, just keep that in mind as we go through the next discussion of the Gemara. Kiddush yadav v'raglav b'yom ein tzarich l'kadosh b'layla. So, if you wash your hands during the daytime, and there's some things that you need to take care of at night, like the burning of the limbs and the burning of the fats, you don't have to wash your hands again. Your daytime washing will last you through the night. Balayla tzarich l'kadosh b'yom. But let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, and whatever, you're walking around the Azar, and you wash your hands and feet, that's not going to be good for the morning. Meaning morning time comes, you got to wash again, Divrei Rebbe. That's Rebbe's opinion. Okay, so let's get this straight from the very beginning. Rebbe says that once morning comes around, you got to wash again. Even though you washed at night, you didn't go back to sleep, you stayed up, still you got to wash again. Okay, so Rebbe says with every new morning that comes, you have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Shai Rebbe Me'omer Lina Mo'alas B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. The way Rebbe says it, it's like a function of Lina, right? It's staying over the night. Okay, Lina we'll see time and again throughout this Masechta. The idea of Lina, right, more generally has to do with the fact that once I collect blood in a bowl, right? I know this is not washing the hands, but this is just how we generally describe Lina. I shecht an animal, now I collected the blood in the bowl. If I let that blood stay overnight, it's disqualified. The blood is disqualified, meaning I can't go to the Mizbeach tomorrow morning, even if I made sure that the blood didn't congeal over the course of the evening. I can't go next morning and say, here, Mizbeach, take the blood. It doesn't work anymore. It becomes disqualified through Lina. What Rebbe's doing is taking the concept of Lina and now moving it to the hands. Just like Lina disqualifies for the dam of a karban, Lina is also going to disqualify for the water in your hands. So you have water in your hands. You don't have water anymore. It's dried. But you have the effects of the washed hands. Once you get to the morning, that's it. Done. Over. You need a new washing. This is the opinion of Rebbe. Lina mo'alas b'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Ein lina ma'alas b'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon disagrees. He says, no, you do not need to wash your hands again in the morning. There's no concept of lina. And so therefore, according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, you wash your hands at night, that will carry over into the morning.
Is he assuming that the person did not go to sleep the whole time?
Right. No hesachadas. Let's assume that. Let's assume no hesachadas.
Sometimes the guy stayed in bed, and he didn't go to sleep, he was awake the whole night.
Let's assume all that.
And he didn't relieve himself at all.
No. And correct. And he didn't go to the bathroom, and let's assume all that. Let's just, we are right now just dealing with the most abstract of scenarios where it was just simply a continuum. And still, according to Rebbe, it doesn't matter. You have to rewash your hands in the morning. The morning comes, chadashim la bekarim, it's a new entity in the morning. Morning provides a new opportunity of avoda. Done. And according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, no, there's no lina concept by the washing of the hands. Tanya idach. And here now we're going to see a second brisa, and it's going to sound a lot like a repeat, meaning that in the second brisa we're going to be exposed once again to the machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Hayom mina makriv agabim mizbeach kol alayla la ora tan kiddush yadayim v'raglayim divrei Rebbe. Right, you're still even doing the same avoda. When you get against the morning, you have to wash your hands again. Right, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Kim, and Shikidish Yadav Raglav, Mitchilas Avoda, Afilu Mikan V'Asar Yomim, Ein Otzarach L'Kadosh, it can last for even 10 days. 10 days, I'll say it. 10 days is Hifliga, is an exaggeration. You're not going to not go to sleep for 10 days. You're not going to not go to the bathroom for 10 days. The 10 days is just an exaggeration, just to make sure that we understand. According to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, if nothing breaks the continuum, your hands are washed. Your hands are continually in a state of being washed. Utsricha, Why do I have these two brises? These two brises seem to be reiterating the same point. Because in the first brisa, maybe the requirement of Rebbe to rewash your hands in the morning is because you're moving on to a new avoda. Maybe that's what it's all about. But in the second brisa, where you're continuing in the same avoda, had there not been a second brisa, I might have said, yeah, but you're in the same avoda. It's okay. It's good. You don't have to wash your hands again. And then just the converse, the opposite. Meaning, if I only had the second brisa, it's only because you're involved in the same avoda that Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says you don't have to rewash your hands. But if I change the avodas in the morning, maybe after we rewash my hands, so like each brisa is accentuating the strength of each position, Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. My time of the Rebbe. Now the Gemara is going to go for, I would say Svara, but it's not so much Svara, it's more Psukim. My time of the Rebbe, what's the reason for Rebbe Dichtiv Begishtam? Rebbe says Begishtam, approaching. The issue is an issue of approaching. Rashi writes, third line down on the wide lines, the Gisha de Shachar is Gisha Achritahi. Your approach in the morning, it's going to sound a little fluffy, but it's a new morning, it's a new day, it's a new approach. Right, but that's exactly what Rashi says. Shari yesh kan maracha chadasha. But Rashi, of course, is not into fluff. Rashi is into understanding what makes the morning a new approach. So Rashi says maracha chadasha. It's a new pyre on the mizbeach. Right, you have what makes it new. We'll talk a little bit more about this morning. They reshuffle a lot of the ashes on the mizbeach every single morning. Right, that's a mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. So it's a new maracha, and Rashi writes, consequently, it's a new gisha, it's a new approach to the mizbeach every single morning. That is explanation of Rebbe. What about Rebbe Lazar? Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon? My time at the Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, dechsiv bivawam. No, it's not gisha, it's bia. It's a actual walking into the Beis HaMikdash. And walking into the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi says, as long as you haven't left the Beis HaMikdash, you're there. And therefore your washing works and effective. Now, mind you, by the way, that both of these verbs, Gisha and Bia, are both in the Parsha. Right? So it's a question of which one is really our driving force. The Bivawam, El Moed, it's in the same Pasuk. Or the Bigishtam El HaMizbeach. So the Gemara says, V'idach nami aksi bivawam, iksi bigishtam, v'loksi bivawam, Hava mina kol gisha v'gisha, gisha v'gisha. Look, I might have thought, this is Rebbe, I might have thought that every single gisha requires a new washing of the hands. Bivawam tells me no. As long as it's the same day, I don't need to rewash my hands. Kazurachman bivawam v'idach nami haksiv v'gishtam. According to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, what are you going to do with the pasuk v'gishtam? Iksiv bivawam v'lo ksiv v'gishtam hava mina filo abi arei kanis. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that if I just walk into the Azara, without any intent of doing the Avoda, just walk into the Azara, I might have thought, Bia. So that, and therefore requires to wash my hands and feet. So, Bia Rekanis, Aksiv L'Sharei. The Gemara says, I never would have thought that. Because the Torah already says that you're going to do temple service. Ela B'gishtami B'ayle L'Chad Rav Acher B'Yakov. Dama Rav Acher B'Yakov HaKamodim B'Kidash Sheni Kishu Lavush Mikadesh. So, Rav Acher B'Yakov says, you know what you learn out from the Pasuk of B'gishtam? A different halakha. A halakha has to do with the Kohen Gadol. As we've already discussed this morning, Kohen Gadol needs to wash his hands 10 times on Yom Kippur. And with that 10 times comes the changing of the clothing. There is a machlokas, Rashi brings it down over here, it's a machlokas in Yuma, in terms of when he does the actual hand washing, while he's wearing his old clothing, while it's changed into his new clothing. So the machlokas Tanayim. So Rav Acher Bar Yaakov says, true, but I'm telling you, even though there's a machlokas, when exactly he does the hand washing, nobody's going to tell you that he does the hand washing between the changing of his clothing, right? That's not an option. He's going to wash his hands while he's clothed. Which clothing he's going to wear? Subject to a debate. But he's going to be clothed.
Washing twice, so it must be twice for every tefillah. It must be every time once while he's wearing the old clothes. And once
right. So, without going into Yuma, it is subject to a debate exactly when he washes. What you're saying makes sense. So Mikishne Kishulavit Mikash Damakra, Obigishtam, Mishena Mechusa Gisha Bilvad. Yes, it's Isha Mechusa Levisha Vigisha. Okay.
Be a kind of
allowed
a person can come and can just go in the isn't there an
issue?
Cohen can just walk. You can just walk into the basement.
There's no isser. There's no isser. I don't think. In other words, probably not recommended. But it's not. It's not usser to walk into the azara. Well, it's the only isser is to walk in while tummy.
Okay.
When you walk into a shul, they say a pasuk, so you know.
I understand. I'm saying, but there's no isser. There's no formal isser. Lahati isha lamali. Okay. The Gemara says there are good. So we really hashed over the psukim. We went over the nuances of Bia versus Gisha, one representing Shita's Rebbe, the other one representing Shita's Rebbe, Lazar Rebbe Shimon. The Gemara is bothered by the following. It says, he goes in to do Sheiros, to do service. Good. Which now means it teaches us that you only need to wash your hands if you're going to do service. But then the pasuk goes on. It says, Lahatir Isha LaHashem. Right, to offer a fire offering to Hashem. What's that for? So the Gemara says very simply, Ma'u detei mahani mili avoda de ma'atva kapara ava avoda de lo ma'atva kapara lo kamash malan. Because look, I might have thought, yes, I now know that there's a requirement to wash your hands. Got it. And when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you need to wash your hands. And every morning do I need to wash my hands if I didn't go to sleep the night prior? Machlokas. But I know I need to wash my hands. We've learned in our Mishnah that it disqualifies, that if you don't wash your hands, it disqualifies the avoda. What if you don't do an essential avoda? What if you do a non-essential avoda? So the Lahatir Isha LaHashem tells you even if it's a non-essential avoda. Because look, what's Lahatir Isha LaHashem? That's burning of the limbs of the animal. That's not an essential avoda. Essential avoda is the blood. Collection of the blood, halacha, sprinkling of the blood, that's essential. This is a mitzvah. So I might have thought that, okay, it's not going to disqualify that. The Gemara says, Kamash Malan. Okay, good. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan by Ilfa. Okay, Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael. He's our frequent flyer, and he comes in and he quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan. That was his rabbi. A question that was proposed by Ilfa. L'divrei Omrei Lina Malos Bekidush Adayim V'Ragalayim. Now, right headline. This whole line of questioning is only according to Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Remember, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon says that every morning, if you were up the night prior and you already washed your hands the night prior, you don't need to wash your hands in the morning. Good. Okay? So just remember, our entire line of questioning is only going according to Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Make your mausha yifsulu. Okay. You have a basin, right? It's this huge bowl in the temple courtyard. It's the kiyor. Right, as being described over here. Let's say water stayed in overnight. Does that water become disqualified in the morning? Through Lina. Now again, I told you earlier this morning that the blood that's collected into a bowl for sure becomes pus in the morning. But this is not blood, this is water. Does the water become disqualified in the morning if it stayed there overnight? Mi amrin and hani...
It was covered over.
Huh?
Obviously, it was covered.
Yeah, but covering is not the issue.
Water of a snake and
okay, but that's never right. Correct, but that's not the issue over here. The issue over here is not covered versus uncovered. The issue over here is the issue of Lina, just simply because it stayed overnight. So the Gemara says, look, let's think it this way. The whole purpose of this word is to wash your hands and feet. Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim Gufay Lo Pasul Behu. I'm sorry, Lo Pasul Behu Lina. So, and look, and if a Kohen was awake over the course of the evening, his hands don't become disqualified through Lina, so then maybe the water itself also doesn't become disqualified through Lina. That's one way to view it. Oh, Dilma, came into Kishlu, Bikli Shares, Mifsalu. On the other hand, no. The actual basin that the water is a Kli Shares. So that means the water is in a Kli Shares. Once the water is in a Kli Shares, that's it. Meaning now it has an expiration. And so therefore in the morning, even though Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says the Kohen doesn't need to wash his hands again, but maybe the water which is now in the Kli Shares is subject to the rules of Lina.
Okay. Why is the assumption that everything that comes in Kli Shares has an expiration?
It's
because blood has a time limit on it.
Right. But once... I say blood, it's true even by if your makter katara. I'm sorry, the kemitza of a mincha. Same thing. Once the kemitza goes into a bowl, same thing. Once the kli sharis is mekadesh, it's now The clock is ticking. It's got to go up now.
But if you follow today. The logic of Rabbi Shimon, it shouldn't be disqualified. It
okay, so this is the question of Ilfa. So it's exactly the question of Ilfa. Also, Rav and Amr, Rav Yirmi, Amr, Rav Yami, Amr, Rav Yochanan, had the Pashid Ilfa, Kamachlokas, Bazukach, Machlokas, Bazu. So the first approach to this dilemma is, it's the same Machlokas, meaning that just like Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon are arguing about the hands of a Kohen, whether the hands need to be rewashed every morning, the same Machlokas is regarding the water as well. Okay. I'm a lefan of Rabbi Yisrael bar Bisnei Rabbi Ata Omer Kach Elahach Yam Rabbi Yassi Yam Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei De'ofa Kir Shalo Shaku Mi Be'erev Mikadesh Mimenu La'avodas Laila Ulamachar Eino Mikadesh. However, we have another statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who actually said it in the name of Ilfa. You have your kiyur that wasn't dropped into the well the previous night. So that night, it's okay, you could wash from that basin, from the kiyur. But the next day, you cannot. Now, why does the Kohen not have to rewash in the morning? Is it because, like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon said, because you don't need to rewash your hands in the morning? Or is it because the water itself is no longer any good? Right? Odilma ifsulu belina velo pashat lan. Umarka pashale mifshat. So in other words, he himself didn't know the answer. And you think you know the answer, meaning you think that the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, regarding the Kohen, is going to be the same machlokas regarding the water in the kiyur. You think you know the answer, when meanwhile, Ilfa himself didn't know the answer. Okay, good. And so what we're going to do now for a good part of the remainder of today is we're going to cite Mishnayos and Braisos to see whether or not the water in the kiyur becomes pasul the next morning. Okay, now, remember, this is a tricky part of the daf. It's not that tricky, but just remember. According to Rebbe, really the question never even starts. Meaning, if the Kohen himself needs to rewash his hands every morning, the water in the basin for sure is done in the morning. Okay, it's done. So really, right? You could make a distinction. Okay, I'm just telling you the Gemara. This is how the Gemara is approaching it. And according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the question is open ended. So just remember, as we go through these Mishnayos and these Braisos, really it's only going to be a question according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. And just keep that in mind, because we're going to see throughout the course of this discussion, very often we could just simply say, look, that Mishnah, the Mishnah is going like Rabbi, right? Like just back off from that Mishnah. Tashma. Ben kitin asa shnemasar da l'kiyur. Af hu asa muchni l'kiyur shelo yu meimav nifsalim belina. Okay, look. We have a Mishnah in Yuma. Mishnah in Yuma describes a Kohen by the name of Ben Kitin. Right? Son of a small one. It doesn't sound like a flattering name, but the Gemara says he did nice things. Number one, he made 12 spouts to the kiyur. We know, the Mishnah in Yuma tells us that 12 Kohanim were involved with the daily offering, with the Tamid Shel Shachar. You had 12 Kohanim involved because the marching of the limbs to the Mizbeach were done in a procession of Kohanim, 12 in total. Mishnah actually counts up how we get to the number 12, fine. What he did, Ben Kitin, is he made 12 spouts to the Kiyur, so that way the Kohanim, when they go to work, can actually, they don't have to wait in line, they can actually wash from the Kiyur, all 12 of them at the same time. Beautiful. That's number one. Number two, the second thing he did is he made a Muchni. Muchni is a wheel, right? Much like in our wells, right? You have that picture of the well where you crank the pulley. You crank the pulley and it goes down and the bucket goes down. So here, they created a lever pulley system where the entire Kiyur would be dropped. You see over there in the picture, there's gold and there's that black dot. That black dot is basically a hole in the ground. And what they would do, and it's not a three-dimensional picture, it's a schematic, but that is a well. And what they would do is they would drop the kiyur down into the well so that the water in the kiyur would be touching the Mayan, the underneath stream that ran underground. What would that do? That would refresh the water in the kiyur. The water in the kiyur would never be subject to the psul of lina. Good. Yep, that's correct. Correct. Renews it.
You mean they would do this
every night. Every night they would lower it into
night or in the morning.
They were lowered at night. It would seem they were lowered at night and then bring it up in the morning. So Tashma Ben Ketina.
I understand his question because it comes at sunrise.
Dawn actually, but dawn, right? So Shneim Asar Dad Likior Afu Asa Muchni Likior Shelo Yeman Nifsalim Belina. So now, good. So what do you see over here? So you see that one of the things Ben Ketin did is that every night they would drop it down into the pit so that it doesn't become possible Belina. So a couple things. First of all, before we go on in the Gemara, so what did they do before Ben Ketin came? Ben Ketin came sometime during the middle of the Second Temple. So before that, I guess they emptied it out and refilled it, I guess. So my love, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, good. So now, who's the author of this Mishnah? Who's subscribing to this Mishnah? So the Gemara assumes, okay, look, it's Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. And I'm telling you that even according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, even though the Kohen in the morning does need to rewash his hands, but the water in the Kior is subject to the Psul of Lina. So the Gemara says, lo, Rabbi he. Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that. You could tell me that Mishnah belongs to Rabbi. The Hamad Dereisha, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sefer Namar, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. And now it's going to get a little complex. Because the Gemara is going to tell us now, look, I'm going to follow the Mishnayos over there in Yuma, and I'm telling you that if you follow the Mishnayos in Yuma, the only conclusion is that Mishnah belongs to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Diktani Reisha. Because, let's go.
What's it mean, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon?
Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon is the one who said that the Kohen doesn't have to wash his hands in the morning.
Means Rabbi Elazar said it in the name of Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah. No, his son. Rabbi Elazar is the son of Rabbi Shimon. Thank you. Okay? So Diktani Reisha, because we learned in the Reisha, Balo, it's a paro. This is now the Kohen approaching his par, his bull on Yom Kippur. The bull's a carbon chattis. Right? Upar haya omid bein ulam mizbech. Now the bull was between the ulam and the mizbech. If you look up over there on the wall, so remember, this is important. Right? Everything is this. The bull is a carbon chattis, which means that it has to be done to the north of the mizbech. Right? I know I'm going down, and I'm saying north. The picture's upside down. Okay, whatever. It is what it is. Okay, so it has to be done to the north of the mizbech. Remember also, there's a big discussion as to what is north, meaning is north just from the parallel lines drawn from the Mizbeach over here? Does north include to the
north.
I was going to say, no.
Northeast.
Right, the northeast?
Okay.
West. It is west.
Relative to
right?
What?
Does it include west?
Wait a minute.
Does it include east? Remember, it's upside down. The picture's upside down. I know, it's confusing. Does it include west? Does it include east?
That's right.
Okay?
West.
Okay. I think we will turn this picture upside down, just so that we'll be less confused. Okay, good. So that's the issue over
so
here.
The
Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would take his bull, and the Mishnah in Yuma describes he would be bein ha'ulam ha'bein ha'mizbech. This is the ulam. This is the antechamber. It's a foyer. It is a very wide foyer that opens up into the heichal. The status of the ulam is, as we already discussed, it's up to debate whether this has the status of the heichal itself or the status of the greater azara. However, the Kohen Gadol would walk here. He would be right about here with his bull on Yom Kippur. So he would be west of the northwest of the altar. Thank you. So balo it's a paru upara yomi ben ulam mizbech rosh ledar mufanav lema'arav. Facing the west, meaning he would turn, Kohen would actually turn the head of the bull, so that the bull would be facing the Azara. The Kohen Omid B'Mizrach, in front of Lamarav, okay, good. So, Man Shamatlay, now, here it is. It's going to be a lot of deduction. How do we know that this Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon? Because the Mishnah doesn't say so. So the Gemara puts a bunch of pieces of the puzzle together. Man Shamalei Damar Bein Ulam Lizbeach Safon. So first of all, who holds like this? Who says that the northwest of the Mizbeach is considered north? So Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Oh, that we know. That's Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Detanya Ezut Safon Mikir Mizbeach Safoni Vad Kosal Azar Safoni Kenega Kol Mizbeach Kula Safon Divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, which is not what we want to focus on right now, it says north is only to the north of the Mizbeach. Period. Good. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Mosif Af Beina Ulam Ulam Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon says even northwest. Northwest is considered north as well. Good. Rebbe Mosif. Now it happens to be Rebbe has an opinion here as well. Rebbe includes Af Makom Drisas Ragle Kohanim and Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael. Northeast is considered north of the Mizbeach, even though it is distant from the Ulam, but it's still north. However, the Khalifos is where they kept the knives. Where did they keep the knives? Right here. In the Ulam. If you look over here carefully, it's called the Beis HaKhalifos. The House of the Knives. This is where they would store their knives. They don't want to store it outside over here, obviously, so they store it inside the Ulam, inside the antechamber. So, and the point that the Mishnah is making is that this area over here is north of the Mizbeach. I might have thought I could shecht an animal here, even though you're in the antechamber, you're in the foyer. That you can't, for a technical reason, because when you're in here, you can't see the Mizbeach. It's really that simple.
And doesn't it mean even north of the
Mizbeach? It means, right, in other words, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda only allows you to shecht over here. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shem allows you to shecht here. Rebbe includes this area over here.
But everyone agrees that you can't shecht.
Wait,
this bad thing below the Khalifos.
No, in the base Khalifos.
No, it's minha Khalifos.
I assume that means in the Khalifos. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara. So good. So. How come on it's impossible? It is now good. So the Gemara says. So what do you see from here? That let's. So here we're going to put pieces together. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Let's start like this. We know the Mishnah Yuma tells us that when the Kohen Gadol would have his Karban Chatas, he would be standing between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, northwest.
Oh, okay.
And we know that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that's an area that's considered north. Northwest is considered north. So the Gemara says, oh, good. So now that I know the Mishnah and Yuma is going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and now I turn to a later Mishnah that describes how Bar Ketin would drop, and that's also Mishnah and Yuma, would drop the kiyor into the well so that it doesn't become pasabalina. So the Gemara says, let's connect the dots. So the Gemara says, that's a lot of connecting the dots.
The only point of this whole discussion is to point that this the authorship of that Mishnah goes to everyone.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. The Tisbara, the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Heva, lo Rabbi, Hashta, Rabbi, Ad, Rabbi, Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Mosif. Ad, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, lo Mosif. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rebbe also would be happy in the northwest. Look, Rebbe's happy up in the northeast. Mm-hmm. if Rebbe's happy in the northeast, you don't think Rebbe's going to be happy in the northwest as well? I mean, I know it's Seattle, but I'm saying you don't think Rebbe's going to be happy there as well? Anan hachi kamrinan. The Gemara says, look, Isak adach Rebbe, he look mabem makom drisas ragle kohanim of makos drisas ragle Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, if it was Rebbe, why wouldn't the Kohen Gadol be in the northwest? Why wouldn't Rebbe be up in the northwest? Elamai, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, he look mamikim is bech tzfoni ad kosel hazamer tzfoni. Elamai yitzach lamemer mishum choshe de Kohen Gadol hachanami mishum choshe de Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says, look, when it comes to where the Kohen Gadol is, Rebbe's happy anywhere in the north, right? That's the bottom line. Rebbe would have been happy putting him anywhere in the north. You know why we put him next to the Ulam? Chulshut the Kohen Gadol. He's got a big day ahead of him. So you're right. It could have been anywhere in the north. It could have been central. It could have been north, due north, northeast, northwest. It could have been anywhere. We want him proximate to the Ulam simply because we don't want him walking around a lot. It's that simple. So who's the author of that Mishnah? It could be Rebbe. It could be Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. There's no conclusive proof over here. Let's go a little bit further this morning. Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Kiddush Yadav Raglav L'Tumas Hadeshen L'Machayim Tzarech L'Kaddish Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avoda. There's something every morning called Tumas Hadeshen, right? Those of us who say Karbanos, I make it sound like I'm one of them. Those of us who say Karbanos every morning know that you have a parsha that it's called the Tumas Hadeshen. It's about the separation of the ashes from the Mizbeach. Every morning, early in the morning, you would have the Tumas Hadeshen, the separation of the ashes. And this was done by a Kohen. It was determined by lottery who was actually going to get up there and separate the ashes. And it was done in the early morning. It was done before dawn. And Rav Yochanan says that the Kohen who had the privilege of doing the Trumas Hadeshen, it's very simple, by the way. You just go up to the Mizbeach, take a shovel, take a shovel full of the Trumas Hadeshen of the ashes, take a shovel full of the Deshen, walk down the Mizbeach, and place it on the eastern side of the ramp. Okay, that's it. That's the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara says, it quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan, if you do that, which you started your work early in the morning, you got up before dawn, you don't have to rewash your hands in the morning.
But it doesn't say you didn't wash your hands before.
No, you did. You washed your hands. Let's assume you washed your hands for the Trumas Hadeshen. Ein tzarich lekadesh kvar kish mitchilas avoda leman. So the Gemara says, yeah, and who's that going like? Ile Rebbe Amar Pasalina. Ile Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Amar in tzarich lekadesh. So the Gemara says, look, Rav Yochanan, I don't follow. If you're Rebbe, you have to wash your hands every morning. Right? Once the morning comes. Once the day comes. And if you're Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, you don't have to wash your hands in the morning. So who's Rav Yochanan talking to? Who is he passing on behalf of? I feel me kind of sar yamim. I'm Rabbiye. So the Gemara is going to give us two opinions. La olam le Rebbe. Ulin uvelina de Rabbanan hi. Umode de mikrusa gever ve'asafra lo pasalina. So our first approach goes like this. Look, Abaye says, remember, Shita's Rebbe is you wash your hands every day. Even if you were up the night prior, you wash your hands every day. Why? Because of this concept of lina.
When is the point of conversion for lina? Is it Alot HaShachar before?
Alot HaShachar.
Okay.
So the Gemara says like this. Lina, the disqualification of lina, is only a psul de Rabbanan. Which makes you then go back to the beginning of today's daf and say, wait a second, didn't we quote psukim earlier this morning? Right. Yeah, and the answer is yes we did.
But Rabban doesn't apply inside the temple.
But the concept of lina, in other words, taking lina, extending it to this aspect of washing your hands, that's rabbinic. Okay. In other words, remember, Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash is a general rule with exceptions. This is one of them. Okay. So this is a lo pasal lina. It's only rabbinic, and what the Gemara now is saying is that according to Rebbe, there are times where even I, Rebbe, will relax on the derabbanans. What are those times? Trumas Hadeshen. Why? It's very simple, because Trumas Hadeshen is really the avoda for today. It happens to be that the avoda is done prior to dawn, but it's for today.
I'm not wearing a
kibbutz. What does he wear? I don't know. But it's for today.
It's a dirty job.
It is a dirty job. no question about it. And so therefore, the idea that lean apostles is only rabbinic. And that's only if you were working the prior night, the night shift, and then it happens to be that you didn't go to bed and you woke up the next morning, boom, Lina, you have to wash your hands in the morning. But if you woke up specifically to do Trumas Hadeshen, which is for today, so then there's a relaxation of the Derabanan, you don't need to rewash your hands at dawn. This is the first approach in Rav Yochanan. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we will approach Rav Yochanan with a second approach.